If you have a gift, it's time to use it. If you have a calling, it's time to follow it. If you have a dream, it's time to pursue it. If you have a resource, it's time to share it. Some of you remember a few years ago when Joyce and I had the opportunity to go on sabbatical. We had so many wonderful stories and rich experiences. And you may remember me telling you this, but one of the highlights of the sabbatical was that we had the opportunity to go and spend a few days in New York City. New York is always such an exciting place to go, and we were able to take in a number of Broadway shows and just share in the excitement of New York. And I remember when we got into the city, and by the way, young people, we went on Amtrak, so that made it even better. So we came in to Penn Station, and we caught the subway, and we went over to the hotel, and we went to check in. Remember the guy at the desk said, "Would you prefer to have a room on one of the lower floors, or would you like a room with a view?" Now, I know what I should have done was say, "Honey, what would you prefer?" But I didn't do that, did I, honey? No, I just said, "Oh, of course we want a room with a view. I mean, it's New York City." And I could just imagine. I mean, Joyce didn't say anything. She just shook her head. When we were going up on the elevator, and we were up 35th floor. I mean, we were way up there. And I could just imagine walking into the room, opening the curtains, and looking out over the beautiful skyline of Manhattan and seeing the Hudson and the Statue of Liberty. I just knew we would have that wonderful room with a view. We walked into the room, opened the curtains, and there was another building right there, just a building. And then I looked down, and there were dumpsters. And there were people that looked like ants just walking. And Joyce said, "Nice view." I said, "Well, you know, this is New York. Everything's different up here. Maybe that's their idea of a view." So we were disappointed, and we went on and did some things. And early the next morning, at the window, there was a little desk. And I had my laptop at the desk, and I was keeping a journal of all of our experiences. And so I was going to write a little something about the room with a view, and how disappointed we were that the view was just another building. And so I remember sitting down to write. And as I did, I looked up. And when I looked up, I saw the most incredible sight. There was the Empire State Building in all of its majesty and all of its glory. There it was. But I never saw it before. And I called George. I said, "Honey, come here. The view, the view." I said, "You have to look up. You have to look up." It was only when we looked up that we saw the view. And isn't that true in life? That so many times we're just looking straight ahead and we're looking down and we never look up. It is only when you look up that you see the star and you see the light. This wonderful passage that Kim shared with us from Isaiah 60. "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord will surround you and be revealed." That wonderful passage is a passage that we often use at a baccalaureate service, because when young people are graduating from high school, when they have so much hope, so much promise, when the possibilities are out there before them, it's a wonderful passage to remind them that your light has come. To look up and to see the light and all the hopes and the possibilities of the future. But we would be well served if we understood the context of this 60th chapter of Isaiah, because it was not written to young people who had a bright future. This passage was written at one of the darkest, most desolate, and hopeless times for God's people. They had been in exile in Babylon. They were on their way back. And when they came back to their homes, when they came back to Jerusalem, to the holy city, you know what they found? Destruction. Desolation. The temple of God was in ruins. The walls around the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed, and there was nothing but rubble. It was one of the darkest, most desolate times in the history of the people of God. And in that dark time, Isaiah said, "Look up. Look up. Rise. Shine. For your light has come." Do you ever drive through Lexington and drive past these empty furniture plants and textile mills and remember the good old days? Do you remember on Friday afternoons when there were traffic jams in downtown Lexington when the furniture factories let out? Remember that? Remember when the mills were thriving? The plants were full. When unemployment was very, very low, that anyone could find a job. Remember when things were so much better in our church, when we didn't have to, when at the end of the year we worried about what to do with the excess. Any of you remember those days? It's so easy to go back and to remember how things used to be. And sometimes when we're doing that, we're blinded by the darkness. We're blinded by the situation that we're in. We're blinded by despair. We're blinded by a sense of hopelessness. But in the midst of the darkness, there is a message to look up. To look up and to see the light. And you might have noticed, Kim, when you were reading that passage, there were references to camels coming from the east, and gold and incense or frankincense. Does that ring a bell? That's the reason that this passage is always used on this Sunday when we observe the coming of the wise men. The wise men who looked up and they saw a star. You know, the amazing thing, and that's one of the most mysterious stories in the Bible, the Magi who come. The amazing thing is, number one was that they saw the star. These obviously were astronomers, people who studied the sky, the stars, the planets, the movement of the solar system. So number one, they saw the star. And in order to see it, you have to look up. But the second thing is that they were willing to take the risk of a journey. Because there were a lot of other people who saw the star, but they never acted on it. There are a lot of times that we can see the light, but if we don't start moving toward that light, or where that light is leading us, then we might as well be blinded by our own sense of fear, fear of failure, insecurity, not knowing where the journey will lead us. We have a large group of young people who are planning to go to Passport this summer. And Passport is always such a great experience, and I think it's going to be a spectacular experience this year. You know what the theme is of Passport? The theme is follow the road. Follow the road. And they take this passage of Scripture, and you may not have heard it translated this way, but Jesus said, I am the road, the way. I am the road, also the truth, also the life. Choosing to follow Jesus means stepping out and viewing life's twist and turns with Christ's eyes. Following Christ is a winding journey. That's what the wise men did. They went on a journey. They didn't know the destination. They didn't know what they would find, but they stepped out on faith. If you have a gift, it's time to use it, to step out on faith. If you have a calling, now is the time to follow it. If you have a dream, now's the time to pursue it. And if you have a resource, now is the time to share it. As we go into this new year, 2014, my prayer for this church and for all of you individually is that, number one, we'll look up. That we will look up and we will see the light. That we will see the hope and the possibility and the promise that this new year brings. This is a new day. This is a new dawning. This is a new beginning. And we have so many opportunities. And I pray the first commitment that we make of 2014 would be a renewed commitment to Christ and His church. Yesterday, before we had the funeral service for Josh Lilly, Evelyn Kepley walked in my office and I said, Evelyn, can I quote you on this? And here we go. Evelyn said, one of the greatest blessings of my life is that I was brought up in the church, and on Sunday morning, going to church was never a question. That's what we did. And I bet most of you were brought up that way too, weren't you? The church is a part of your life. And Evelyn went on to say, and I love my church. And my church outside of my family means more to me than anything else. Evelyn, thank you for a beautiful testimony. Many of you know that over the past few weeks, we have had so much sickness and sadness and tragedy in our church. And we're really hoping and praying that as we go into the new year, that maybe that would be over. But it's not. I think most of you know the terrible tragedy that happened early on New Year's morning when Zoe's daddy, Josh Lilly, only 31 years old, died suddenly. And you have been so wonderful responding to the family. And Michelle, I want to share the note that you wrote. Michelle asked me to share this with you, and I think this is a good time to do it, because one reason that, like Evelyn said, that we need our church is because of this. Michelle wrote, Dear First Baptist Church family, William and I would like to thank you for all the love and support you have shown our family over the past several days. We are truly grateful to be a part of such a loving and caring church. All of the food, phone calls, visits have been so helpful. Please keep Jessica in your prayers as she and Zoe begin the process of healing. Zoe loves this church, and so many of you have been a tremendous blessing to her. And please pray for William and me as we try to teach her that in every tragedy, God is good all the time. Zoe needs you. She needs this church family. That's what we're here for. We're a family. In time of sickness, we're going to be there. In time of death and tragedy, we're going to be there. You need your church. And your church needs you. If you have a gift, now's the time to use it. If you have a calling, now's the time to follow it. If you have a dream, now's the time to pursue it. If you have a resource, now is the time to share it. One of the great blessings of this church over the past few months has been Faith Health. And I mentioned that earlier. So many of you are already involved in this. And I hope that we can expand Faith Health as we go into 2014. When Jim Tate, who is the coordinator, and Jim does just an outstanding job, that's Jim's calling, and he's doing a great job with this. When he sends out an email that we have a need, you're right there responding to it. But I hope that we can expand it even more, because it's called Faith Health. And one of the things that we need to be a healthy church. And the individuals in this church need to be healthy people. There are some of us who need to lose some weight. I'll be prime example one. We need to get in shape. We need to focus on nutrition and exercise and healthy living. And one thing I hope we can do with Faith Health is that we can be a proactive. We can organize into groups in this church, maybe have groups to meet over at the YMCA, so you'll have that encouragement of working together. Maybe have a walking club. Maybe have classes for cooking and things like that. That's just part of the journey. Part of the journey. If we're not going to be a healthy church, if we're not going to be healthy individuals, we cannot be the people that God is calling us to be. Do you realize as we enter the year 2014 for the first time in many, many years, and one of the few times in the last quarter century, we are debt free. We don't have a debt at the bank. Thanks be to God and to so many of you who have been so generous. But now is the time for us to focus on our church so that we can be a healthy church financially. So that we're not waiting until the end of the year to say we can fund this, but we cannot fund that. If you have a resource, now is the time to share it. Now is the time for us to focus on the most important thing, and that's simply this. It is our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know the story in the book of Exodus about Moses and the burning bush? And Moses is the shepherd out in the wilderness, and he sees this bush that's burning, and you know the rest of the story. The rabbis have an interesting interpretation of that. The rabbis say the miracle of that story is not the burning bush. But the miracle of the story is that Moses saw it. Because they say every bush is burning with divine presence. Every bush has the signature of God's hand. Every bush is full with the glory of God because God is at the heart of it. But not everyone sees it. And so my hope and my prayer as we go into this year is that we will see the divine possibilities. That we will see the hand of God into every opportunity, every possibility, every promise. That we will reach out and become the church that God has called us to be. That we will truly be the presence of God in this community. And that we would reach out. So the words of the beautiful song that Blair shared with us, how beautiful that people can look at this congregation and they will say, how beautiful is the body of Christ. Over the past few weeks, there's been an individual that has meant so much to each one of us, has blessed us in so many ways. And Becky, that's Chad. Chad has used his illness for the glory of God. If anybody ever glorified God in illness, it was Chad. And he touched people and reached people in ways that I have never seen before. I've had people stop me in the grocery store to talk about Chad. I've had people that I don't even know come up to me and talk about Chad and how much he meant to their life. We are all inspired. But I want to tell you something. This morning, every single one of you here, we are alive. We're healthy. We're gifted. We don't have any reason to look down. We don't have any reason to be complacent or apathetic. Now is the time to look up. To look up and to see the light. To look up and to see the possibility. To look up and to see the promise. If you have a gift, now is the time to use it. If you have a calling, now is the time to follow it. If you have a dream, now is the time to pursue it. And if you have a resource, now is the time to share it. Amen? Amen. Let's begin 2014 on the right foot.